Well, I'm not an expert. I'm not an authority. I'm someone who has been a murderer for almost 20 years.
Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better.
People say Ted Bundy didn't show any emotion. There must be something in that. I showed emotion. You know what people said? See, you really can get violent and angry.
Welcome to The Squonk and the Hag, a podcast about murder, mystery, the supernatural, and even a conspiracy or two.
Dun, dun, dun.
My name is Mo.
And I'm Kraken.
Welcome on in, guys, to another episode of The Squonk and the Hag. And we are back tonight with part two of the Appalachian folklore and folk waves. Waves? Ways.
Yes, folk waves.
We're starting out great. Mm-hmm. Before we get into more stuff, this is going great. I just forgot words. I can't say words. But yes, before we get into that, we do have a fun announcement. If you go onto the website, you may have noticed we have a new, hopefully weekly thing that is going to be published of the Weirdly Bugle. So this is going to be quick little stories that have come up in the supernatural, paranormal, true crime, conspiracy worlds. Basically everything that this show talks about. And we are going to be putting it together and hopefully publishing it every Monday. And the first episode or issue has been released thanks to the amazing Ranger, who also did all the research of the Appalachian story. So thank you again, Ranger, as always.
Ranger does good work.
Ranger does. I also have a fuzz in my mouth, so ignore me while I try to remove that.
You should need to compile all of the little bloopers and outtakes and just put them all in an episode and then just release that. We've probably got like 3 episodes worth.
Just 3?
At least 3. But that's as high as I can count.
No, you can only count to 4.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot how high I can count.
Oh, Lord. Well, anyway, that is our only announcement this week. So if you have not checked out the Weirdly Bugle, I would suggest it. It is on our website, thesquonkandthehag.com. And that is it. So take it away, Krakko. I don't know if you want to do a short synopsis of what we talked about last time, or we're just going to dig in.
So the last story where we left off was the ghost hobo that was seen on railway track along the railway between Judson and Bryson City, North Carolina. But I believe Judson is now underwater, so...
Yes.
We were left with the question of, can ghosts exist underwater?
Which is really sad. I hope he likes water.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a change of scenery.
True.
Before, you just got to see, you know, local wildlife. Now you can see fish.
Which technically is local wildlife.
Yeah, but a different kind.
True.
But moving away from the railroads, we're going to the town without death.
Sounds different.
Yeah. Because I remember you asking, does that mean no one dies in this town or people come back to life in this town? I don't know either.
That wasn't me.
That may have been me. Either way, the question is still there, no matter who asked it, or if no one asked it, I'm asking now.
I remember you asking me, but it might have been me asking myself.
Someone asked this, or either I thought of the question and didn't ask it. Either way, we'll find out, because I haven't skimmed over this part yet, so we're gonna find out together.
We are, let me just say, peak professionals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Peak.
The prime example of what a professional podcast should be.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Moving on. They say that death, like love, is careless in its choosing. Everyone will be visited by death eventually, from the most ruthless tyrant to the kindest soul on earth, and that's just what Sam Dillon was, a kind-hearted, gentle young farmer who everyone agreed deserved nothing but the best in life. Back in the olden days, Sam lived with his childhood sweetheart, Marie, on a hillside farm deep in the hollows of eastern Kentucky. Sam had loved no one but Marie since he was a boy, and when they finally got to marrying age, Sam immediately made her his bride. They could barely eke out a living on their rocky farmland, but they rarely complained. After all, the only thing they felt they really needed in life was each other.
Aww.
The story's starting out a little too wholesome for this podcast, and I'm concerned about where this is going to go.
Yeah, this is going to go bad quickly. That's just how this podcast goes.
Mm-hmm. If it starts out really nice, it's going to end horribly. If it starts off horrible, it's probably going to end nice, maybe.
No, if it starts out horrible, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, you're right. But in those times, the coming of winter brought sickness and death to many folks deep in the hills. And the first winter after their marriage, Marie came down with a bad fever. Here we go with the terribleness that we just spoke about. And this fever grew worse by the day. Sam watched with anguish as his longtime love slowly slipped away from him. And one sad morning, Marie never woke up from her sleep.
That's so sad.
Sam's neighbors buried Marie in a small windswept cemetery high above the town. Hold on. But Sam knew he no longer... What happened? Okay.
Tonight, this is just going so well.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it always go well?
I mean, usually one of us has a bad night mm-hmm. with the speaking. And it's usually whoever has to tell the story, to be honest. But... Tonight, we're both hardcore struggling, and I don't know why I blew a raspberry when I said both.
I mean, I didn't hear it, but...
I don't know if the microphone picked it up. Oh, okay. Then maybe the microphone didn't pick it up, because I was like, both!
Okay, that time I heard it. Let me try that again. But Sam knew he could no longer live in that town without Marie, for it was filled with so many memories of their life together. So Sam sold his farm, stuffed the bare essentials into a tattered canvas bag, mounted his horse, and rode far away from his home, never to return. Sam rode over and through the high, treacherous mountains, his overwhelming grief driving him forward into strange lands that he had never seen. The dirt roads eventually gave way to wild, untamed forests, and strange creatures chattered and streaked? The creatures are streaking through the forest.
So now we have streaking. Okay.
Aside from streaking, they chattered and shrieked from behind the dark trees. Gentle creeks gave way to raging, dangerous rivers, and after a few weeks, Sam finally got tired of being alone and wanted human companionship again. One day, Sam fought his way through the thick brush and found himself standing on a ledge overlooking a beautiful valley. And nestled in that valley was a pretty mountain range, with its freshly painted houses, lush fields and gardens, and a clean, sparkling stream flowing right through the center of town. And there was a hand-painted sign beside the road that read, "Town of Burning Creek, welcome to all."
I feel like...
That doesn't sound creepy at all.
Yeah, Burning Creek is the name of a town from every horror movie, apparently.
Wait, really?
No, it's a creepy name for a town that sounds like it's from a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. So, creepy village named Burning Creek. Sam rode into the village and looked around, and it had everything that a mountain town in those times typically had. A church, a mercantile store, a restaurant, a small hotel. But Sam was surprised to find that Burning Creek was missing one key feature. So, he rode up to one of the townspeople and asked out of curiosity, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me where the cemetery is?" The man, who Sam noticed looked extremely tan, healthy, and strong, let out a hearty laugh and answered, "There's no cemetery here. Ain't no need for one." "Why is that?" Sam asked, surprised at his answer. "'Cause there ain't no death here in Burning Creek. That's why. We're all too happy and healthy to die." I don't know if that's how that works, but okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure... And you're probably going to save this recording forever. I think you're right, Cracko.
Gonna save that. New sound for the soundboard.
Lord.
So the man then pointed at the stream and said, "You see that water there? It's filled with special minerals that come out of the old Indian caves." He then pointed at the thick forest surrounding them. "You see them woods? They're filled with wild game. The biggest and healthiest critters you've ever seen. No one goes hungry here, and no one gets sick, and no one dies."
But what about old age?
I have no idea if they...
Like, even if there's no sickness, everyone's fed, everyone's healthy, all that stuff, your body does slowly break down.
Unless here it doesn't. So this jolly man then looked over Sam's thin, malnourished frame and said, "Son, it looks like you could use a good meal. Why don't you come down to the restaurant tonight for supper? There'll be plenty for you to eat, I promise." Why does it sound like, why does that sound like it's going down a cannibal route?
I was going to say, they're going to fatten him up and eat him.
That's what it sounds like.
Definitely what it sounds like.
Well, needless to say, Sam had never heard such a crazy story in all his life. But his rumbling stomach convinced him to look over this minor quibble and accept the man's offer. Later that evening, Sam cleaned up and went down to the restaurant. Sure enough, it was just as the jolly man told him it would be. The tables were overflowing with fresh fruit, vegetables, cheese, bread, and the sweet smell of glazed, cooked meat filled the air.
Cheese, bread, and glazed meat.
I'm sold. Where is this village?
Yeah, like, we had a frozen pizza for dinner, because, like, on recording nights, we do something, like, super quick and easy, so that I can get, you know, eat and then get everything set up to record. So I'm like, yay, we have frozen pizza, and then you're talking about this, and, like, I'm picturing, like, a picture-perfect magazine ad glazed ham.
Or like that one movie that you're watching and you see the spread of food and you're just like, that looks amazing.
Yes. And it's like homemade bread and artisan cheeses. I'm picturing like a perfect, beautiful charcuterie board. Fresh fruits. They probably have like those giant strawberries.
I'm sorry. Did you say fresh fruits?
No. Maybe.
Fair enough.
Listen, you. That's as far as I can get with it.
I had to point it out.
I might have said fresh foods. But
if not, it sounded like it.
Yeah, but like giant, those giant, you know those giant strawberries that are like extra sweet?
Mm-hmm.
God, I want some of those right now.
Just a big bucket of fruit and a platter of like a ham.
Chocolate covered strawberries.
Okay, but the big ones covered in chocolate.
Yeah. Well, that's what you use for chocolate-covered strawberries.
Fair enough.
I think we need to stop recording so I can go buy all the food.
Oh, but I have to finish the description of the food to make it worse.
Well, when you... So before I said we had frozen pizza, we also finished off... We had a half gallon of Moose Tracks ice cream. And
I love Moose Tracks.
Yeah. So being the adult that I am... We were down to just a couple more bites, and I stole the last peanut butter cup that was inside.
That's fair.
And I was like, it's mine! And Chris is just like, how old are you?
Oh, I fully expected you two to fight over the last peanut butter cup and the ice cream.
Well, it was weird because, like, I was excavating for peanut butter cups, and he was trying to find the layers of fudge. He's like, I need to find a good pocket of fudge, and I'm like, all right, you go with your bad self, I'm eating the peanut butter cups.
Why now can I just picture you with like this massive bowl of Moose Tracks ice cream and then a small plate to the side with nothing but the peanut butter cups, and then you just push the ice cream over to him and you're like, I got what I wanted, you can have the rest.
You give us so much credit, we ate it right out of the container.
Large bowl, the carton, same thing. Either way, you got a plate on the side and all you're eating is literally just the peanut butter cups. You're not even worried about the ice cream or anything else in it. Like, you could have just bought Reese's.
No, the peanut butter cups have to come with ice cream around them, but not, because like when you get Moose Tracks, there will be spoonfuls where it's just fudge ripple ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I was on the hunt for the peanut butter cups.
Why you gotta do this? Now I want Moose Tracks ice cream and I don't have any.
Neither do I. Because we ate it all.
Because you ate it all.
I have some Reese's Pieces on my desk if you want some.
It's not the same.
It also is, what, 4 states away?
That too.
Just come get some Reese's Pieces. It's fine.
You have no idea, like, how dangerous it would be if, like, we lived closer together, because, like, I would just stop right now, walk out of my house, and come over and be like, where's the ice cream?
Dude, you would never leave. You would just eat all of our food.
Exactly. Or I would say that I want Moose Tracks ice cream, and then you'll hear a knock on your door, and I sent Bobo over to steal your ice cream. While I kept you distracted.
Well, here's the thing. If Bobo knocked on my door and came in for Moose Tracks ice cream, Bobo would have ice cream, not Krakko.
I see how it is.
Yo, you want to steal my ice cream, you got to come here in person to take my ice cream. You don't send somebody to steal it for you. That ice cream does not leave this house unless it is in someone's stomach.
You know what? Just for that, whenever I do make my way down that way, then I'm going to specifically, if you have ice cream, I'm going to take it out of the freezer and walk out the front door with it just to prove you wrong.
I revoke your invitation. You are no longer welcome in my home.
It is non-refundable. I was about to say I'm like a vampire. Once you invite me in, you can't get rid of me, but that's not how vampires work.
You're like a house cat. Once you let them in, they never leave.
Basically, yeah. You ended up with me the same way you ended up with a new cat. You just find him in the trash.
Well, I mean, we found Mara literally just in the backyard.
Fair enough.
And you know what happened there. She's laying next to me snoring, so.
Seems like it all worked out.
Oh, I didn't even tell you. While we're speaking of Mara, might as well stay in tangents.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their kitty beds. They have two pizza beds and one that's a bear. And we have these little pet-sized blankets. They're like, I'd say maybe like 2 foot by 2 foot or something like that. And they're like super soft and all this stuff. And we keep those in the beds because those are a lot easier to wash than washing the beds. So they were in the wash and we ran out of little blankets. So I just took a full-size blanket and I folded it up and spread it across all three beds. And I was like, all right. They got a blanket, they got their beds, everything's fine. Apparently, everything was not fine. Because they refused to sleep in their beds until I removed the full-size blanket and replaced it with the clean pet blankets.
They were like, how dare you cover our beds so we can't sleep?
Yeah, she was so mad at me. She would scream at me. Because she wanted her bed with her banky.
Much like she screamed because the peasants were eating before her.
That was just the cutest thing. Oh my god. And it's like, so Chris made dinner a little bit early. And like, they eat dinner at 5 p.m. every day. So we started eating like 10 minutes before 5. And that is when she just lost her shit and screamed for 10 minutes until 5 o'clock because we were eating and she wasn't.
Exactly. How dare.
I'm a monster. Anyway, glazed meat.
Yes, back to the food. Meat and cheese.
I love cheese.
Same. So, with all of this food, Sam dug ravenously into a huge steaming plate of cooked game, the juicy meat just falling off the bones and melting in his mouth. He had never tasted meat so delicious in his life. Sam ate so much that night that he nearly passed out, and honestly, same.
That's like the best feeling.
That's like basically Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So as any normal person would do after having this delicious feast, he decided to make Burning Creek his new home. At least for now.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, he found a job as a farmhand on a large cattle farm at the edge of the forest. And each night after a hard day's work, he'd go back to the restaurant, devour giant helpings of that steaming, delicious game. Then he'd stagger back to his employer's farm, his belly hanging over his pants, and pass out in the barn loft.
That sounds like a fantastic life, not gonna lie.
Yeah. I would not mind this, but I have a feeling I'm going to mind it pretty soon because it can't keep up this good for this long.
Yeah. This is fantastic. The other stuff, maybe not.
I'm just waiting for it to just take a sharp downhill. Just straight downhill.
Not even downhill. Just cliff.
Off a cliff. So as time passed, Sam started to believe the story that he was told, that there really was no death in Burning Creek. Everyone seemed healthy and fit. No one appeared to be old or sick. He thought maybe in his long travels he had stumbled across heaven itself. But on some nights, a strange thing would happen that would awaken Sam from his deep slumber. Oh boy, here we go. He would hear strange sounds drifting from the dark woods surrounding the farm. At first, he only heard the sounds of the night crickets as they called out to one another. Sometimes he would hear the howl of a wolf or the low hoot of a mountain owl. But then he would hear something else. Something that sounded like whispers. Numerous whispering voices drifting from the blackness. In a hushed conversation that Sam could not understand. They would then drift away and Sam would return to his slumber.
Yeah, I think that would be enough for me.
Yeah. If I hear whispering anywhere near woods, I'm just leaving. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I hope they have fun.
Oh, I said, I'm just like trying to see where this is going to go. Like, are the whispers a serial killer or ghosts or aliens? Or is the town planning to sacrifice him so that they can keep living longer? Or do people start?
That's a good theory. That may be.
Yeah.
That may be the case.
Or do people start disappearing? Or.
Weird. We'll find out.
You don't think that's what he had at the feast, do you?
Oh, no. You know, I was wondering that because Ranger just wrote the game, Wild Game.
He didn't say what?
It doesn't say if it's deer, elk,
cow, horse, dog.
What are they hunting?
Yeah. Oh, that just reminds me when I said wolf. Did you see that? I think it's Korea or Hong Kong or one of those. I am terrible with geography and memory, but one of them has banned dog meat.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I think it was South Korea.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I feel like that should be a thing everywhere, but
it's not.
I kind of feel like it should be, but, you know.
It's not.
Fair enough. Hopefully that's not what Sam is eating.
Yeah.
Well, other than the whispering, each day was just like the last. Sam worked hard on the farm, then he would head to the restaurant for another massive dinner. And as the weeks passed, Sam's thin physique began to grow more and more plump. He simply couldn't stop himself from eating that delicious food. So far, something tells me something's up with the food. Because how do they have so much of it?
Yeah, like it's drugged or... Oh, I see what you're saying. To say, I think they have like good soil and, you know, that kind of stuff. So like they grow lots of stuff, but...
It just seems like there's an awful lot of food.
There is a lot of food. And it seems like it's like drugged or something.
Something's up with the food.
Something's up with the food. Which is really sad because I love food.
Yeah. Why would anyone want to mess with food?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Terrible.
So terrible.
But whenever he would return to the barn at night, he'd awaken to that same strange sound. Eerie, unintelligible whispers drifting from the darkness, growing louder as they surrounded him and then vanishing as quickly as they came. Sam figured that something in that food was giving him crazy dreams. But it seemed a small price to pay.
I mean, if they are just dreams, I could deal with bad dreams if it meant having delicious food constantly.
I don't know if I'd want to have nightmares every single night to where I was hearing voices outside my room. That food's got to be pretty good for me to agree to that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how bad the... Because, like, if it's just the whispers and hearing weird stuff, that's, like, an eerie unsettling. If it's, like, you're running from some kind of murderer or something and you wake up in that, like, that, you know, I feel like one of those I would accept a little easier than the other.
True. Well, the food must be pretty good for him to put up with the whispers and being like, yeah, it's fine. The food's very good. I can deal with it. So Sam followed the same routine day after day until he turned into quite a chubby man, and it took all his strength just to do the simple farm chores that he had done so many times before. Rivers of sweat would pour down his shirt, and he constantly had to plop down under a shady tree and rest, his chest heaving with each pained breath. I'm starting to lean toward their fattening him up.
Yeah, and, yeah, that seems odd, because, like, even eating a lot, you would think that his farm work would burn a lot of those calories off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like nowadays where, you know, you sit at a desk all day long, and all, but, like, he's on his feet. He's lifting and plowing and whatever.
Farm work.
Yeah, he's doing heavy farm work. You would think that he might be a little chubby, but, like, not, you know, chest heaving and sweat pouring down his back over simple things.
Well, I will say that I just briefly glanced at the end of this paragraph here, and let's continue. Something caught my eye in the end of the paragraph here, so let's just keep going here. One night, he was awoken again by whispering, but this time the voices weren't coming from the woods. He looked out the window and saw a light on in the farmhouse kitchen. Through the curtain, he saw the shadows of three men sitting around the table. It was quite unusual for his boss to be up so late, and with company no less. Curious, Sam crept out of the barn and over to the window, eavesdropping on the hushed conversation inside. "That boy's getting sicker every day," he heard his boss said. "We wait much longer and he'll be too sickly for us to eat."
Okay. First of all, we were right. Second of all, who's the boy? Him? I thought he was, like, a grown man, and I don't know. And what do they mean, sicker?
Maybe that's just how they're referring to him.
Yeah, but, like, what do they mean by sickly? Is he sickly? He doesn't seem sickly.
Unless maybe they mean, like, since he's having to, like, stop every so often and sit under the tree and rest, maybe they're talking about he's eating too much, and they're fattening him up too much.
Gotcha.
Maybe. "He's gotten plenty big by now," said another. "You seen the size of him lately? We'll get two, maybe three good meals out of him." "Just looking at him working them fields makes me hungry," answered another. Sam's boss then replied, "All right then, I'll kill him tomorrow, but you boys gotta help me out this time. I ain't staying up all night cooking him like I did the last one."
Also, okay, this is gonna take a turn.
As it usually does.
Yeah. "We'll get two or three good meals out of him. Do they not know how to ration meat?"
True. So that makes me think then, like, they had this massive feast that he's been eating so much of that he almost passed out from eating so much. If they're just eating a lot at a time, then they're just feasting.
Yeah, they're piggies.
Yay.
I guess it also depends on how many people are eating meal, too. Because, like, I'm thinking, like, a deer can feed a family of four for a while. But if we're feeding a whole town with one dude...
Well, that, and we don't know how many people are in this town. This might not be a very big town, but still. I mean, they're big enough to have a hotel and a restaurant. Where do you think they get the people from?
Yeah, although why do they have a hotel if they just eat everybody?
If this is what it's like at someone's home, staying in the barn, what's the hotel like?
Yeah,
then?
They'd be like, "Oh, you can stay in my home. I'll make you a nice, warm, cozy bed with some fluffy pillows. Kill, kill, kill."
So, as one would expect from hearing all of this, Sam's stomach turned and his head spinning so hard he had to lean against the house. Now he knew why there wasn't a graveyard in Burning Creek. He had been eating the bodies of the dead. And what's worse, he was next. Sam felt sickness building in his throat, but he knew he had no choice but to run away into the night. He left his belongings behind and charged straight into the forest, staggering blindly in the darkness. The tree limbs were scratching and clawing at his face for what seemed like hours. He huffed and puffed through the woods until he could take no more and collapsed under a tree, his heart pounding in his ears. As the forest grew still around him, he began to hear the whispering again, the same voices he had heard each night in the barn. These whispers grew louder and louder, seemingly surrounding him, and as he listened close, he could finally make out what they were saying. Dig us a grave. Dig us a grave. Dig us a grave. So we're going from cannibals to possible ghosts. Wonderful. But wait, it gets worse. It was then that the bright moon shone through the trees, and in that moonlight, Sam saw a sight that chilled his blood. The woods were strewn with human bones, hundreds of them. Skulls, rib cages, arms, legs, fingers, toes. Maybe they were wayward travelers like Sam, picked clean of their flesh by the human vultures of Burning Creek. And their whispers grew even louder. Dig us a grave. Dig us a grave.
Which does make sense, because a lot of stories revolving around ghosts are if a body isn't laid to rest properly, they are doomed to walk the earth. So, I mean, it makes sense that they would want a grave, but I still don't like it. Don't like it at all. Don't like it one bit.
No.
No.
But if there's hundreds of bones there, that's a lot of digging.
That is a lot of digging.
Well, like we said earlier, Sam was a kind-hearted man. He was terrified, exhausted, and sick to his stomach, but he also knew he had a job to do. So he found a large rock and dug a crude grave. For hours he worked, his hands cut and bleeding. He then gingerly lowered every bone that he could find into that pit and shoveled the dirt back on top. Sure enough, as he kicked the last bit of dirt over the grave, the loud whispering suddenly stopped and the night was quiet again. Then Sam continued running into the woods and vanished into the night. So at least he managed to get them buried.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad he was able to put them to rest.
I was kind of worried that they were like the ghosts were telling him to dig his own grave for a minute, and then I realized.
Yeah, no, 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 no.
So that part,
nobody
as
knows.
Creepy as it was, wasn't as horrifying. They just wanted to be put to rest.
Yeah, yeah. That part is far less horrifying than the townsfolk wanting to eat him.
So does the thought of having a massive feast, like not human, I'm talking about like an actual feast of ham, stuff like that. Does a big feast still sound good if you knew that every night you went to bed, you would hear voices from the woods whispering for you to dig them a grave?
Well, I mean, if you realized that's what they were saying, you could, you know, sneak off into the night. Dig a grave, put some bones into it every single night until you slowly had everyone buried.
There.
And then you could still eat, man, as long as it's not people.
See, I don't, that's the thing. I don't know how I would react to hearing something like that. Like, I've had my share of experiences with, I guess you would say, ghosts or things that can't really explain where they came from, but like, I don't know. Something about this just seems different.
Like you?
Yes, like me.
And it's also one of those things, like, you don't know unless you're there.
Yeah.
You don't know how you're going to react until you're reacting.
Because, like, the most experience that I've had is, like, hearing footsteps in a house when everyone's asleep.
That was a robber.
Yeah, probably. They couldn't find anything and they just left. So, after running through the woods and digging a grave all night, a few days later, Sam stumbled across a small mining town. He immediately found the sheriff and told them the hideous story. At first, the sheriff thought that Sam was crazy, but he had heard stories in the past of travelers who had ridden in the direction of Burning Creek, never to return. So he agreed to lead a posse over to Burning Creek to check things out, with Sam leading the way. I don't know about you, but if I was Sam, I wouldn't go back.
Nope. I'd be done.
Well, when the sheriff's posse finally arrived in Burning Creek, they found that the streets were eerily quiet and empty. Hello? They called out, but no one answered. They then walked over to the restaurant and opened the door with a loud creak. What awaited them inside was a ghastly sight. It was a dinner party that had suddenly been frozen in time. The tables were filled with smelly, rotting food, flies and rodents everywhere. Sitting frozen in the chairs were the dead citizens of Burning Creek.
Oh, God.
Their faces were twisted in agonizing pain, the skin on their skeletal corpses marked with hideous purple blotches. This sounds like a curse.
This sounds not good, yeah.
The sheriff turned to Sam and said, "Them people got poisoned real bad." I kind of think that was a little obvious, but fair enough. He then picked up a piece of rotten meat and said, "Maybe it was something they ate."
Maybe?
You think? That story was good enough for the sheriff. So to stop the spread of disease, they wheeled away the bodies and buried them in a mass grave, giving Burning Creek its first real cemetery. But Sam knew something else had happened. By giving the poor souls scattered through the woods a proper burial, he had freed their spirits from eternal torment. And before those spirits traveled to their final resting place, they got their revenge on the citizens of Burning Creek.
Yeah, 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 they got their revenge. Because, yeah, no.
They're just like, "You have no power now. We've been laid to rest.
You have no power here."
Yes.
"Gandalf the Grey. I am Gandalf the White."
Okay, Gandalf. So Sam eventually found another town to live in, one with a prominent cemetery on a hillside overlooking the town. A constant reminder for Sam that there really was no escape from death and that life must be lived to the fullest each day.
I feel like he should have learned a third lesson of don't eat people.
Yeah, I think that one was just kind of obvious from the beginning, but I'd be a little concerned if you needed to be told not to eat people. That's just me.
I mean, some people don't see a problem with it.
Okay, fair, but
like, there are some people who think it's just the same as eating a cow or a pig,
yeah,
or a chicken.
And supposedly, from what I've read, it's basically equivalent to pork.
Yeah, I am perfectly fine with just reading that and never finding out myself.
Yeah, I'll stick with ham, thank you. Because, you know, that tastes like pork because it is pork.
Wow. I am so glad you were here to tell me that.
Mm-hmm. Just in case you didn't know, ham is pork.
Really?
That's why it tastes like pork.
Wow. Although I do find it interesting how vastly different pork products taste. Like bacon versus ham versus a pork chop. Like, those all come from the same place.
I mean, technically, cows are the same, like, the different cuts of meat taste different.
Yeah, but they still all taste like steak.
Fair. Okay, you want to know something that tastes weird?
People?
Ostrich.
Oh, I've never had ostrich. I've heard that it's, like, obviously something you can eat, but I've never had it.
Yeah. There was a local store near me, and they had ostrich steaks. And it's very weird because some bites taste like beef and then some bites taste like chicken.
Are you sure you cooked it okay?
Yeah. I mean, that's been a while ago and I'm still here, so probably.
Maybe.
But it looks like a steak, but it's kind of got pockets of chicken.
Oh, I could have lived my whole life without hearing that phrase.
That's the best way I can describe it is looking at it, you would be like, that's a weird looking steak. But then you eat it and it's like, okay, that's beef. Then you take another bite and it's like, wait a minute, that's chicken.
Yeah, that part I got. It's the pockets of chicken in a steak.
I'm just picturing having your pockets full of chicken. That's just me. Cracko pulls dino nuggies out of his pockets.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure my mom doesn't listen to this, so she won't get mad at me for telling. One time when my nieces were little, they were in the car. And they were hungry and they wanted to stop. And my mom was like in a hurry, so they couldn't stop and get like fast food or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she reaches into her purse and she's like, "Here, you can have some of my purse cheese." She randomly kept cheese in her purse and gave it to my young nieces.
If I tell Bobo that, do you have any idea what that's gonna start?
Like, I understand understand, like, purse candy or purse chips, but cheese is supposed to be kept cold.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a purse out there that has a specific pocket in it that is insulated like a cooler.
Oh, Lord. Well, I mean, you can...
I've said the word and I heard a gasp behind me in the corner.
There's a company that makes one that has, like, an insert in the bottom that hides wine, and then it has a straw and you can drink from your purse.
Yeah, that's fair. That you can have the wine purse to go with your cheese purse.
It's a very hoity-toity purse snacking day.
I'm trying to figure out a word that I can I'm trying to find the word that's a combo of charcuterie board and purse, but it's not happening.
It's a charcuterie purse.
See, I was trying to mash them up a little more than that, but I guess that works.
Oh man, now I want this. Like, it has special pockets for each of the different charcuterie items. Like, you have...
I gotta learn how to use that sewing machine that I've got.
Yeah, like, on one side, it's, like, little pockets for crackers and little toasts and stuff like that. And then on the other side, there's, like, your meats. And then, you know how, like, it has four sides? Because it's kind of like a... Mm. And then you have, like, your cheeses in this section. And, like, oh! And then down in the bottom, you can have a thing for, like, little containers with lids for, like, pickles. And...
Ooh, I got an idea.
Uh-oh.
What if in the bottom, on the inside, the bottom lifts up and that's where you can put some ice to keep it cold. And then you put the little flap down and then you can put your little tubs of pickles and stuff on top of that.
Oh, man. See, we would be so rich if we were ambitious.
I think we're onto something.
Like, I would buy this.
Exactly.
If anybody ever wants to gift us something.
We're gonna need to just bleep this whole segment. That way no one steals the idea.
Why would we bleep it? We could just edit it out, goober.
But see, I like the idea of having just one long beep for like 10 minutes.
Beep, 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 beep.
And we can have a beep, beep, beep in the beep, beep.
Start like Morse coding something in there.
New conspiracy theory dropped. What do the beeps mean?
It's just like in A Christmas Story. Don't forget to drink your Ovaltine.
Exactly.
Ovaltine? It's a crummy commercial.
He was so mad. Honestly, I understand.
Do you blame him? Yeah, like, if I got a secret decoder ring and my very first message was a commercial, I'd be mad too. Like, that should be saved for, like, the second or third commercial
yeah.
message.
Yeah, like, at least, you know, lure him in a little more with, like, a prize or something.
Well, I mean, the prize was the decoder ring.
Fair enough.
Although, there was a missed opportunity for that kid because you have a decoder ring. You could send secret messages as well, not just receive them.
Exactly.
Plus, why do you need a decoder ring when it's just a, you know, it's such a simple cipher?
Yes. Alphabet. Letters. Mm-hmm.
It's a simple replacement cipher. Like, you could make that on your own without having a spinny special thing.
I feel like, though, that's giving too much credit to a child, because, like, even my brain couldn't figure out how to do that.
Really? I used to do coded messages all the time when I was a kid. I would make up my own codes.
And see, I was over here living in the future and just getting the invisible ink from a lot of the little spy kits.
That is fun, though. I did that, too.
Tangent over. So, in case you couldn't tell, that last story wasn't 100% true. The Town Without Death is a combination of two types of folk tales told throughout the world. The No Graves stories, featuring mysterious towns without cemeteries, and Singing Bones stories, where victims' remains are literally singing out for justice. But The Town Without Death is also a story about how foolish it is to think we can cheat death. And how life is about living each day as if it's your last. I personally feel like this is where ghost stories in their folkloric form come from. A tale to be told on a dark winter night with your friends and family. Now, I've heard many, many firsthand stories, ghost stories, in podcasts, TV shows, and the like. So I'm not discounting those. Those would be more factual rather than fictional in my mind, as the people on those TV shows and podcasts have something to lose when they tell their firsthand accounts. Ridicule, shame, etc. are all things they are risking by going public with their stories, because, you know, whenever I tell stories, people are just like, Yeah, that's Krakow. The first story comes from Smoky Mountain Ghost Lore by Juanita Baldwin. According to Ranger, that's a great book, short, sweet, and more factual than spooky.
Oh, nice.
Now we're going to get on to cryptids.
Yay!
More creatures we can give weird names and lives to.
I don't know. I still think Jeff was our greatest creation.
Mm-hmm. Jeff was the first, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was the Gray Man of Ben McDewey.
Yes. Now we're on to the, as Ranger put it, the red-eyed furry humanoid with antenna in the room. No podcast on Appalachian folklore would be complete without the discussion of cryptids. However, we're not talking about the Mothman, Bigfoot, the Wampus Cat, or anything like that, because one of those we've already talked about. Those have and will be covered on here in depth. But we're going to talk about cryptids that most people probably haven't heard of. These are from a book called Appalachian Bestiary, Wondrous and Fearsome Creatures of the Southern Wilds by Gary Carden.
That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Imagine going to the library asking for that. The first beast that we'll be talking about is one that is near and dear to Ranger's heart, the Wangdoodle, also known as the Kingdoodle.
I was going to say, so it's not the King Wangdoodle, it's one or the other.
Yeah, but whenever I hear King Doodle, I just think of a giant cheese doodle with a crown on it.
Wait, isn't that just Mara?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say that out loud. I know better.
She's sleeping. She didn't hear that.
Oh, you know she did. And she doesn't forget.
Yeah, if you never hear from me again, it's because she killed me in my sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just be recording with Mara then. If she has time in her busy schedule. Oh, I hear the angry noises.
Just a little grump. Don't you want to tell him? Don't you want to tell him?
There it is. Mm-hmm. Understandable. Really?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You're not happy, are you? Mwah.
That was very angry. Gonna be using this recording as crime scene evidence when they find Mo's body.
Oh, now she walked away. She won't even look at me.
Very angry. So yes, back to the Wangdoodle. The Wangdoodle is a bit of an enigma. No one knows exactly what it looks like, so actually I'm just gonna go with cheese doodle with a crown on it.
I mean, you don't have proof that it's not.
Fair.
If no one knows what it looks like, it very well might be a cheese doodle with a crown.
Oh my god, I've eaten so many of its people.
So many Wang doodles. Oh man.
Bring me another bowl of those Wang doodles. That's just the medieval version of cheese doodle. Like, my lord, would you care for another Wang doodle? I want to go somewhere else with that, but I don't think I should, so I'm going to continue with the story.
Yeah, let's go back to Ranger's very well-researched, informative piece.
Yeah, that we're totally not, you know...
destroying.
Turning into a comedy.
I mean, come on, you can't put something in here called a Wangdoodle and not expect us to say something stupid.
Exactly. So as I said, no one knows what it looks like, but it might have to do with the fact that it particularly likes to scare children who are out at night doing the chores they were supposed to do earlier. So most descriptions are disjointed as a result. The frightened children come running back in the house screaming, it had big floppy ears, or it had green eyes and gray hair. But the most accurate description that Ranger found was from a child named Mo.
Hey, I did not tell Ranger anything.
M-O-E. Different Mo.
Is this the guy who owns the bar?
Maybe. Maybe he grew up to own a bar.
Homer's his best customer.
Mm-hmm. If there's a person named Homer in here.
I love it. I hope there is.
He said, it's as long as a cow, high as a goat, and big floppy ears like a mule. Those are very accurate descriptions and measurements.
I feel like he just saw a big goat.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, like goats can have floppy ears.
I mean, and goats can have gray hair.
And green eyes.
I wasn't too sure about the eyes, but fair enough.
Well, I guess they're usually like yellowish, but still, depending on the lighting, it might look green.
If it's dark and then there's like light shining off of their eyes and makes them glow a little bit, maybe. Yeah. But he couldn't give a better description than that because, like I said, it was dark and his father was shooting at the Wang Doodle to scare it off.
Now I'm just imagining some dude shooting in the dark at a goat who, like, wandered off from its farm and the goat's like, ah! Mm-hmm. You know how they scream?
For me, what popped in my head is a little funnier to me because I just picture a child being like, Dad, there's a monster under my bed, or there's a monster outside my window. So the dad just doesn't question it and just starts shooting out the window.
And then I started blasting.
Yeah, like, it's not uncommon for children to see monsters and stuff, but, like, for the dad to just go along with me, like, okay, bang, bang.
I mean, maybe the dad just wanted a reason to shoot something.
Okay, fair. So, blasting at random things in the darkness. It doesn't help that different areas have different descriptions of the thing. In the Ozarks, it's thought to be a big lizard. In Missouri, it's thought to be a giant boomer or ground squirrel. Or for the uneducated like me, a chipmunk. But also in some other parts of the state, a boomer is not a chipmunk, but a lizard. So it's just a little confusing.
I mean, to me, a boomer is something way different, but okay.
Okay, boomer.
Hey, shut up. I'm not that old.
I said what I said.
All right. Recording over. I'm auditioning new co-hosts as of right now.
And then your first night of recording with your new co-host, you just hear a knock on the door and it's just me. I'm like, you can't get rid of me that easy.
I just get a resume, like, emailed to me. Hi, my name is Bracken. I go by Bracco. I'm from South Carolina. And I'm 75 frogs in a trench coat.
Bracco is from North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bracco.
Because they're, you know, completely different people.
Yeah, and instead of 75 frogs, it's 75 lizards in a trench coat.
Mm-hmm. 75 chipmunks in a trench coat.
75 boomers in a trench coat.
Yes.
That's why it's Bracco instead.
Mm-hmm. The B is for boomer, you see.
Which is either a chipmunk, a ground squirrel, or a lizard.
I mean, does that sound too far off from me? We aren't really sure what I am, so...
I mean, fair.
Exactly.
We just know that you won't go away.
Also true. So, despite its alarming appearance, not talking about me, the Wang Doodle...
It's just the Wang Doodle, don't worry about it.
You know, that just sounds like I forgot the name for it and I just made something up. So, despite its alarming appearance, looming out of the darkness is really all it does. Like, and I don't know if that's better or worse, that it just kind of stands there and looks at you.
I was just going to say the same thing!
And honestly, the more and more I read this, the more it sounds like me, because most folks say it just likes to scare people. So, we have various descriptions of the thing. Same with me. We don't really know what it is or where it came from. Same with me. It just likes to loom out of the darkness and scare people. Also me.
And it's just a giant cheese doodle with a crown, which is also you.
It's either me or it's Bobo. Or it could be both. We alternate shifts.
It just keeps getting stranger and stranger.
I mean, hey, that would make sense that, like, some places think it's a large lizard because, you know, Bobo's a dragon.
Okay, now my brain's starting to hurt.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. But apparently there's one piece of information that makes this thing a little more scary. It has a bit of a habit of impressive displays of violence, like uprooting trees and fence posts. But, you know, it's just your friendly neighborhood cryptid, right? Now you're picturing me just showing up in your backyard and angrily staring up at the window as you record with your new co-host as I just uproot a tree.
That honestly, that is what also came in my mind. I'm like, you're just out there. And so we don't have any trees in our backyard. We have this giant lilac bush. And I just imagine you, like, going through the branches and trying to still look angry while they're, like, smacking you in the face. So you can just go and, like, pull it out of the ground and walk away with my lilac bush.
But I never quite get that far because I get so scratched up. I just get even more angry that I couldn't do it. So I just covered in sticks and leaves. I just grumpily climb back over the fence. So now we're on to the reason why Ranger loves Wang Doodles. His father-in-law says, where the Wang Doodles moan, which he learned from his uncle down in South Georgia.
So what does that mean?
Maybe none of them know.
Hey, it's where the Wang Doodles moan. I should ask Ranger. We'll ask Ranger after this.
He goes on to say, so imagine my surprise and delight when I found out this wasn't just a saying my father-in-law and his uncle made up, but something from actual folklore. Okay, that didn't explain anything. It's just something from folklore. I thought there was more. I thought the next paragraph went on into explaining what folklore that's from. It's just... So the next few on the list here are known as lumberjack followers, or just creatures that hang around logging camps.
So it's not their TikTok audience?
Maybe. Lumberjacks were the first to have followers.
First account on TikTok was just a lumberjack.
Mm-hmm. And then this next one, no, Mo, you cannot pet it.
What?
The Whistling Wumpus is a huge wildcat with supernatural intelligence.
Why can't I pet it then?
I just don't, it's probably not safe, who knows?
You don't know, so you shouldn't tell me if you don't know.
I'm gonna butcher this word, this is one of those adjacent times again where I've seen this word, but I'm not 100% sure how you're supposed to pronounce it.
Beguiling.
Thank you for saving me the struggle. It has a talent for making beguiling sounds. Some species can whistle and lure hapless hunters and woodsmen to their doom by whistling at them from dark cedar thickets. I think if I heard any kind of whistling coming from the woods, I would go in the opposite direction.
I mean, it depends on the kind of whistling. Like, if it's like a Snow White whistle, I'd probably be like, aww, little birdies are gonna come. But if it's like a...
I mean, we already knew you were gonna get taken by the Wumpus because it's a large wildcat.
Yeah, we'd be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Cuddle.
And this is how Alice in Wonderland and the Cheshire Cat became friends.
Yeah. Ranger said it basically means who knows where.
So I was close, but not quite. Fair enough.
Out where the Wang Doodles moan.
It's just somewhere.
Yeah, like an unknown place out in the...
Fair enough.
All right, so... Whistling from the dark cedar thickets means I got a new pet.
Imagine this is just like a large bobcat.
Meow. Oh man, bobcats. Have you ever seen a baby bobcat?
Yes, their feet are massive.
Yeah, it's like there's no proportions to that animal whatsoever. And it's amazing. I love it so much.
Baby bobcats are made from spare parts. Yeah, so it said some of them whistle, and they also have a talent for making just weird noises. So I guess some of them kind of make different noises, similar to a whistle, but not quite. Lumberjacks often explain the disappearance of fellow workers by just saying, I guess the whistler got him.
I mean, if you're gonna go.
What better way than just, you know, giant cat. But yes, in addition to whistling, some Wampus cats give calls, usually a hoo-hoo or a woo-hoo sound. They're just celebrating.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
I just imagine hearing that out in the woods.
I would think that I stumbled into something that is private.
Okay, fair. You stumbled upon the Wang Doodle.
Oh, that's a loaded phrase.
Carrying on. So the combination is supposedly irresistible, something like a siren call in Greek mythology. Folklore of other regions has some fascinating near kin of the whistling wampus, among other variations. I'm unsure if this is a typo or if this is exactly what it's called, the sliver cat.
I'm thinking it's the sliver cat, because it's repeated.
I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be sliver or the silver cat.
Considering that it's repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm going to say sliver.
Yeah, and Ranger isn't me. That's something I would do. So, the sliver cat, which lives in Paul Bunyan country, is a close relative of the whistling wumpus with a few additions. With tasseled ears and red eyes that are vertical instead of horizontal, the sliver cat also has a long tail with a ball-shaped knob on the end. One side of the knob is bare and hard, while the other side has long and deadly spikes. So he's basically got like a mace for a tail.
Yeah, but I think if we cuddle, it wouldn't use them. It would just be like, oh, let's cuddle.
So when you cuddle Mara, does that mean she's never used her claws?
Actually, she usually only scratches me when I pick her up.
Okay, no, but now imagine having something like this and you go to pick it up and it smacks you with its tail. I think it's a little different.
It all depends. Like, I mean, sometimes there's little scratches and stuff like that, but it's always, when it's unintentional, it's just little scratches. So, like, maybe they bump you with the deadly spikes, but they didn't, like, whack you with it, so it doesn't kill you, it just scratches you.
You let me know how that goes. Make sure to document the whole thing.
I think I need a Whistling Wampus and a Sliver Cat to add to the menagerie.
Mara just wakes up to these two in the house and they're just like, Mother, where did you acquire these demons?
She'd beat the crap out of them. That's what she does to everything.
You know, I have no doubt that, like, the Sliver Cat and the Wampus Cat would just be afraid of Mara as well.
Everyone is.
Mm-hmm. So, with the long deadly spikes on its tail, the Sliver Cat, while purchasing, what is he buying?
They got the credit cards out, they're ready to go.
They got that American Express. While perching on a limb over a woodland trail, the Sliver Cat can use its tail to stun a hapless woodsman. Okay, so now it doesn't sound so bad. If they can stun you, like, it's a free sleep aid, too.
I guess it depends, because, like, that makes it sound, because if they're going to stun you, they're using the non-spiked half to club you over the head.
I mean, it works.
It does. I would just be happy to finally be able to sleep easily.
Yeah, but then what they do afterwards, after they stun you, is kind of not so fun. The tail spikes are used to impale the victim and drag them up the trees. Up into the trees.
I mean, if you're unconscious, what's it matter?
Fair enough.
It's a kitty.
I almost felt like my brain was shutting down when I tried to read this next word, because I thought that said William, but that does not. Next, we are talking the Will-Am Alone. Another migratory critter.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I thought it was Will I Am.
I kind of thought that too.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I was like, am I reading that right?
Will I'm Alone.
But yes.
I mean, knowing you, it could go either way.
True. But the Will Am Alone is a migratory critter with a nasty disposition. It's squirrel-like in appearance, and it is devoted to making lumberjacks miserable. It picks poisonous plants and lichens? Yes. My brain shut down there, too. It does that often. It just reboots. It rolls all of these poisonous plants into tiny little pellets.
So are you a Will-Am Alone?
You know, at this point, we've read so many cryptid stories that all of them could be me, so who knows?
Are you the first cryptid?
I'm the Arceus of cryptids. I'm the creator of cryptids.
You are cryptids.
Mm-hmm. I'm just all the cryptids rolled up into a trench coat.
Yeah, and, like, this makes me so...
It's all making sense now.
They mentioned, like, Siren Song a little bit ago, which would explain why I can't get rid of you no matter how hard I try. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I send you memes and I lure you back in because you just think, oh, these memes aren't fully off-the-wall insane, so maybe this is all right. I'll stick around a little bit longer. And that's how I got you.
We're idiots, you know that, right?
Yes. So just imagine you've got this little squirrel-like creature picking poisonous plants and rolling all of these things into tiny pellets and then dropping these little missiles into the ears and eyes of sleeping woodsmen, causing nightmares, painful headaches, and hallucinations.
So I will say because I have a lot of fears and phobias. Kind of comes with the anxiety. And I know that bugs and stuff can crawl in your ears, your nose, and your mouth when you sleep.
I hate that.
And yeah, I hate that knowledge too. And sometimes it's really great is when I'm like almost asleep and then I think of that and then I can't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. But like now I'm thinking, oh my God, what if there's also something that's putting stuff in there, not just crawling in there, not taking a nap, but putting things in my face while I
sleep. You mean like a goblin that just lives in your walls and waits for you to fall asleep and then comes outside and just, you know, just shoves bugs in your mouth?
Or missiles.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny little poison missiles.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if I had to pick a goblin that makes you eat bugs while you sleep or a little squirrel-like creature that causes nightmares, headaches, and hallucinations, I'm going with the little squirrel.
Me too. Me too. I don't want a goblin putting bugs in me.
Hallucinations, nightmares, that's fine. Headaches, they have Advil. It's fine.
I woke up with a headache this morning, and I am fine now due to the glory of Advil. Not sponsored.
You tried to take an Advil before you started recording with me. Oh, right. We're not supposed to give out the secrets.
Actually, no. It was so, like, I woke up with a migraine, and I took 5 Advil. I know that is way more than the recommended dose, but it kicked it right out.
I mean, it worked.
It worked. Yeah, you're supposed to take 2 every 4 to 6 hours. I took 5 this morning. I'm still here. It's fine.
It'll be fine.
This is fine.
So it's interesting to me that there are a lot of cryptids that just like to follow around and mess with loggers.
Yeah. I wonder if there is something with these lumberjacks and loggers that, like, being out in the wild and stuff like that, maybe, like, because I feel like you spend a lot of time alone and, like, that can kind of also make the imagination run.
Probably.
And, you know, it's like maybe that's why there's so many stories of cryptids that harass them, because it's like, you know, you're running on 2 hours of sleep and you're out in the woods all by yourself. And, you know, maybe you saw a squirrel or a twig snapped or something. And then it's like, what? And then they're like, no, dude, it's the whistling wampus.
Or just imagine you're like, I woke up with a really bad headache and there was a squirrel sitting in the tree above me. I bet he had something to do with it.
Get suspicious of the squirrel.
Like, I could have swore I saw that same squirrel about 5 trees back. Must be following me. But this next one also has an interesting name. The Zigmal. And this is another lumber camp follower.
Is that like a strip mall?
Maybe. Maybe it's a strip mall in a zigzag pattern. I'm not sure.
Is it like an escalator triangle?
Maybe. The Zigmal. It's like an escalator triangle. But it likes to, like the other creatures that we've talked about, it likes to follow loggers around and hang around lumber camps. And it probably migrated from the northwest with the lumberjacks and left when they did. The descriptions are varied. James York Glim claims that it looks like a flying squirrel, but the resemblance is deceptive. I'm not exactly sure what he means by that, but it's a very deceptive flying squirrel.
Like, maybe it's smaller or larger than you would think or something?
Maybe. So far, the cryptids that have looked like other animals tend to be a little bigger than the normal animal, so maybe. But the Zigmal actually travels by, quote, following the bouncing ball.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Possessing a very long and limber tail with a hard rubber ball on the end of it, the Zigmal twirls the ball around its head and then throws it. When the ball hits the ground, it bounces, propelling the Zigmal forward. When the ball stops bouncing, the Zigmal repeats the whole process.
That is the weirdest way of traveling ever.
Now I'm just picturing a squirrel running around the forest with an ender pearl. That's what that is.
Pretty much.
But wait, it gets even better.
Oh no.
Glim tells the old chestnut about the cook who made himself a pair of boots, or excuse me, a pair of boot heels from a Zigmal's tail. When he jumped off the cookhouse, he bounced so high and so long that the lumberjacks had to shoot sourdough biscuits to him so he wouldn't starve to death.
What?
That was a sentence.
That is so much to unpack. Okay, so he jumped so high and so long that the lumberjacks had to shoot food to him. Did he ever come down? Did... What? I don't... And also, how did they shoot something to him if he went so high? Like, I don't understand how that worked.
It's a good question, and better yet, what did they use to shoot literal biscuits in the air to him?
Yeah, it would have to be like a...
What just launches food? Did they have a t-shirt cannon?
Yeah, either like that, or like, you know those giant slingshots they use at... Like for water balloons?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
But I feel like if you jumped so high and so long that you were going to starve to death, which would be days, weeks, something like that, you're not going to shoot anything that's going to get to them.
I feel like they could have made something else with that tail rather than boot heels. Maybe like, you know, a slingshot. Then you could launch stuff very far.
Or maybe don't kill the little squirrel guy and make his tail into anything.
Yeah, little man just likes throwing the super ball around the forest and chasing it. So, I mean, he's just vibing.
It doesn't sound like it does any, like, it doesn't sound like, you know, okay, the one gives you hallucinations and headaches. The one has a tail that can kill you and drag you up a tree. This guy just throws his little ball and follows it.
Yeah, he's just flying around the forest with a little bouncy ball. That's all. But finally, since this is the podcast that it is, we have a slightly more sinister cryptid to talk about here. I don't know exactly how I'm going to pronounce this, but let's just try. The Jimplicute?
I mean, that's how I would say that.
Yeah, it looks right, but whether that's right or not, we're going to go with it. It's a weird combination of ghostly dinosaur, an incredible dragon or lizard supposed to walk the roads at night, grab travelers by the throat, and drink their blood.
Okay. I feel like if I was a ghostly dinosaur, I would do something way cooler than suck someone's blood. I would, like, rip their body in half or bite their head off or something.
This whole segment here has just been a lot to unpack.
Yeah, but, like, I'm imagining I'm, like, a ghost T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
I would do the things that a T-Rex does just in ghost form.
Now I'm just imagining a T-Rex wandering around the forest confused as to what these metal things are that are flying down the road and what a road is.
yeah, this is true. But like, yeah, like I imagine the scene where the lawyer's on the toilet and the T-Rex is just like, nom.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, though, like. Ghosts, technically, you can just walk through them and like they can pass through you. So like, would the dinosaur not just be angry because it's trying to eat people, but like when it closes its mouth around them, it just doesn't do anything?
Yeah, but if it can suck their blood, it can bite them in half.
Fair. And if he can pick them up, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And also it said ghostly, not ghost. Ghostly.
Yeah, ghostly. Okay, you have a point.
I really want to be a dinosaur. Can I be a dinosaur? Is that like a career path that's available?
I mean, probably. They have the inflatable costumes. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from putting one of those on and just going out into the forest.
No, I mean, I want to actually be a dinosaur. I don't want to wear a dinosaur costume.
I mean, the only thing stopping you is figuring out how to do that. Other than that,
again,
no.
We would be so dangerous if we were ambitious.
Yeah, I've often told Bobo that, like, I should never be a scientist.
I just imagine us in like a lab with like the lab coats and the safety goggles and the gloves and all that stuff, trying to figure out how to be dinosaurs and then just like blowing up the planet.
I feel like that's a good video for us to record. Again, whenever I do make my way up toward you, we can both make a little short list of, quote, experiments that we want to try, and we'll just, you know, put tarps down in your kitchen and we'll just have a Mo and Cracko science episode.
Yeah, we have all these ideas and yet you still haven't come visited me.
I know.
It's like you don't like me or something. It's like we're not actually friends.
I'm on my way.
I just wanted to be friends.
See, now you're saying you want to be friends and then, like, we're talking about getting rid of me and applications.
Moving on, let's talk about the Gyplacute.
Yes. This ghostly dinosaur.
Yes, our ghostly dinosaur.
So the Gyplacute has kin throughout the Southeast and Midwest, and numerous hunting parties with baying hounds and impressive arsenals have scoured mountaintops, swamps, and isolated farms searching for a misshapen creature that was drinking the blood of dogs, cows, and hapless humans.
Oh, so it wasn't just people. That's kind of sad.
So no doubt the Texas Wowzer is a close relative. That's a name. I want to know how they got the names.
Wowzer is like, you know, mm-hmm. wow. You know, wowza. I didn't realize it was a mm-hmm. creature.
Apparently so. These are ones that I didn't know of either. I have not heard of either of these. Or any of these cryptids that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, same.
So the name of this creature, the wowzer, according to Randolph, seemed to have captured the imagination of several newspapermen, including Walt Whitman. Writing in the North American Review, Whitman mentions a Texas newspaper called the Gyplacute, and allegedly a weekly Gyplacute was published in Missouri as recently as 1940. Sightings are not restricted to the mountains and the prairie either. For example, the vampire monster of Bladenboro received an extensive newspaper coverage in 1954, and an atmosphere of hysteria surrounded this eastern North Carolina community for several weeks.
Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Wow. Are there any other cryptids other than maybe like Bigfoot that have had like a weekly newsletter about them?
That's a good question and something I haven't actually thought about. Time to tell Ranger to rename our weekly weird and call it the weekly squonk.
Well, right now it's the Weirdly Bugle.
Ah, yes, the Weirdly Bugle, yes.
Yeah.
I'm joking, by the way. I like the Weirdly Bugle, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
So we'll make our own newsletter.
With blackjack and hookers.
I wasn't going to go that far, but fair enough.
All right. We're almost done, Cracko. We can do this.
Yes. Can we, though?
I mean, I could just mute you and speed read the rest of it. I'm kidding.
Fair enough. This is true. So in the final days, over 1,000 armed men scoured the countryside and swamps looking for a sleek black creature with a round head that was slaughtering dogs, sheep, and cattle when a half-starved bobcat was shot. Many hunters refused to believe that they had killed the vampire monster and continued the search. However, the killing of domestic animals stopped after that.
I just wonder, if it was slaughtering all these animals, why was it half-starved?
I don't know, because if it's... I guess they described it as a sleek black creature with a round head. Maybe it had, like, a disease or something and that was causing it to always want food.
I don't know. Bobcats aren't black. They're spotted.
I mean, I wonder if it was missing, like, fur or something.
Yeah, but its skin shouldn't have been... Well, maybe. Because, like, Han has black skin.
I have no clue what a bobcat's skin looks like.
Well, I'm thinking, like, Han, he is a brown tabby cat, and he has black skin. But like, Wedge is a ginger tabby and he has pink skin. So I don't know what a bobcat's skin is, but they are spotted. A black creature, a sleek. So bobcats also aren't sleek. If I was going to think of a sleek black creature, I would think of a panther, not a bobcat.
Yeah, that's a good question. If it is slaughtering a bunch of animals, then you know, why is it also half-starved, like you said?
I wonder if they spooked off whatever was doing the killing.
Maybe, or maybe it's smart enough to know, like, hey, they're looking for me. I should probably leave.
Yeah. Well, that's what I just said, Kraken. It scared them off.
Yeah. Words.
We are on point tonight.
Mm-hmm. And I have to include this. So, many hunters, as I said, didn't believe that they killed the vampire monster, but the killing of these domestic animals stopped, so like it must have been the animal either at least scared it off. Now that's a bloody good one, if I say so myself, says Ranger, before showing themselves the door. Yeah. So in conclusion to all of these stories and cryptids, this wasn't an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination. We've talked a little bit about a lot, to say the least, especially, you know, shooting sourdough biscuits into the air.
Now I want sourdough biscuits.
That actually sounds good.
Oh, man. It was years ago, but I was out in San Francisco, and they have, like, they're famous for this one sourdough company that has, like, restaurants and stuff like that. And it's, like, every meal I was eating the most amazing sourdough with everything. It was so good.
You want to send me some of that?
It's in San Francisco, and I'm not.
But sourdough aside, this wasn't a big list, but it's pretty much is Appalachia in a nutshell. There's so much information about Appalachia out there, from stories on the internet, travel magazines saying where the best places to stay are, to the erroneous misconceptions about the people who live there. Even to this
erroneous
day.
Erroneous.
What was that?
Erroneous.
What did I say?
Erroneous.
Okay, then that is not what I heard. Anyway, that... Words are wording, yes.
Erroneous is adjacent to erroneous.
It just sounds like you're trying to say macaroni.
Macarena.
Yes.
There is something really wrong with us tonight, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just this topic, because it seems like the last one, we were both kind of like this again.
Yeah.
Ranger put a curse in the Google Doc.
Ranger laced it with LSD or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, could you imagine if you could lace a digital document with drugs? That'd be messed up.
It just like, you open the document and it just plays like a series of colors and patterns that just like make you hallucinate for a minute. It doesn't sound impossible. It's kind of the scary thing.
Yeah. We're now into the paranoid section of the episode.
That's how you know it's coming to a close. So to keep it simple, so I don't mess up the macaroni words again, all the way to the incorrect assumptions about the people who live in Appalachia to this day. We talk a little about a lot of things when it comes to Appalachia because it's so densely packed with history, stigma, and mystery. Like the roots of the mountains reaching down into the dark depths of the earth. However, it's still a place of growth and life, and many towns are trying to get back on their feet after coal companies left them high and dry when coal became less used and the companies pulled out of the region. You can ask anyone from Appalachia, and they could probably name a few cities that are struggling, but seem to be prospering despite the hand they got dealt. All in all, I feel like Appalachia is a place of stubborn obstinance and in the face of adversity. Ranger loves using big words to trip me up. I know that's why he's doing this.
And I love him for it.
From the indigenous people who still hold to their tribal traditions, though so far away from their native lands, to the coal miners in the early 20th century, and the people of today trying to make their communities a better place. So the mountains are a standing testament to human stubbornness and hope for a brighter tomorrow. So remember that when the night is dark and you hear the wang doodles moan, the sun will shine bright in the morning if you just keep your head up high and never give up hope.
Aww, that's a really cute ending.
Hey, Ranger, you want to write a children's book? I'll narrate it with my wonderful way with words.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Sure, Krakow.
I'm sure it won't go wrong.
But I will say, this was another long one, because, as Ranger said, we covered a lot.
We covered a lot, but yet didn't cover everything.
Yes. But thank you again to Ranger for all of that amazing research. And thank you, Krakow, for telling the story. And then next episode, we'll be back in the true crime world. I think this is a good time to end the episode. But thank you guys for listening. We love you very much. And Krakow?
Okay, bye.
As always, make sure to check out our website for all of the show notes, sources, and more information at thesquonkandthehag.com.
And we would also love and appreciate your support by either leaving a review on iTunes or through small monthly donations using the viewer support link in the description. And if you don't subscribe, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast network to get notified of new episodes every Thursday.
All right, Krakow, you ready?
Goodbye. Okay,